Good afternoon, everyone. This is Brad Woodhouse with Protect Our Care. I am excited or thrilled or to be, that's probably the wrong word for the urgency of this call, but to be joined by Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut and Laura Packard, who is with me, a co-chair of Healthcare Voter, but more importantly is a storyteller, a cancer survivor, someone for whom the ACA, frankly, meant either life or death. And so I want to get to them. I want to get to them quickly, and I want to get to Senator Murphy particularly quickly because I think people see there's a lot of activity in the United States Senate going on right now, not the least of which is soon going to apparently be a Supreme Court fight over the vacancy created by Justice Ginsburg's death. And to almost a person, Republicans have already decided they're going to vote for the nominee of President Trump's, who has yet to be named. So I find that quite interesting, the deliberative process in action. I think no one would be surprised to hear us say that this is a healthcare election. We've been saying that for some time. But this is now a healthcare election on steroids. I think, as Senator Murphy will likely allude to, there's really two reasons that Republicans are rushing to get a justice named and on the court before the election in November. Of course, they want a justice on the court that can rule their way and restrict the rights of women and restrict the civil liberties of people that they disagree with, and do a host of other things for generations to come. But this Congress is in session until early January. Obviously, win or lose, President Trump's term runs even longer than that. The reason they are rushing a justice to get on the Supreme Court before the election is because on November 10th, the United States Supreme Court is taking up a case that most neutral and certainly, you know, more progressive legal scholars think is bunk on the legal theory, but is the case they are counting on to rip away the Affordable Care Act and to rip away everything that the Affordable Care Act entails, all the protections, all the coverage, all of the things. And that is why they're in this this all-fire rush to get a justice on the court. Yes, it's a healthcare election. It is now a healthcare election on steroids. I want to turn it over to Senator Murphy because I know he's busy and possibly short on time, and I have some news on Protect Our Care before we go to the Q&A. But with that, if people think I'm exercised, and there's urgency in my voice because the health care of the American people is on the line. Senator Murphy.
Brad, thanks a lot for convening us. Thanks, Laura, for your leadership as well. Thanks, everybody, for being on the call. This is a life or death moment. Donald Trump has made it clear that he is only interested in putting people on the Supreme Court who will overturn the Affordable Care Act. He says, this is his quote, "My judicial appointments will do the right thing, unlike Bush's appointee John Roberts on Obamacare." He said, "We're going to have a strong test. I'm disappointed in Roberts because he gave us Obamacare." Donald Trump has been clear he is only going to put people on the court who are going to overturn the Affordable Care Act. And Brad is exactly right. Republicans are rushing through this nominee or declaring their support before they even know who it is because they want to make sure that they have a 5-4, 6-3 decision on that November case to overturn the entirety of the Affordable Care Act. And let's be clear, that case calls for the entirety of the Affordable Care Act to be invalidated, which means likely overnight 25 million people losing their health care, 135 million Americans having their rates go up because they have pre-existing conditions, 2.5 million adult children being kicked off their parents' insurance. The consequences are absolutely catastrophic for American families if a right-wing justice gets appointed to this court, and Donald Trump and Republicans will finally get what they want, which is the elimination of protections for people with pre-existing condition and the elimination of health care insurance for 25 million Americans. And so this is, you know, clearly what's at stake. We are not giving up. We are not conceding the fact that Republican senators are going to knowingly vote for a judge who is within days of appointment potentially going to overturn an Affordable Care Act that is increasingly popular amongst the American public. Remember, a lot of political pundits said that there was nothing we could do to stop the repeal of the ACA in 2017. Well, ultimately, there was a national uprising in which people made clear that there would be political consequences for Republicans who supported the elimination of their health care, and ultimately the ACA survived. I think we have the ability to muster that same kind of political uprising over the course of the next several weeks. And, of course, this all happens in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, it would have been a humanitarian disaster in 2017 for healthcare to be eliminated for 25 million Americans. Imagine what that will look like in the middle of a public health epidemic that has already killed 200,000 Americans. What we also know is that COVID is likely going to be a pre-existing condition. And in fact, I'll say it, COVID is going to be a pre-existing condition because of the damage we know it potentially does to your heart. And we will learn over the course of the years how many Americans had COVID because folks will get the antibody test. If this right-wing justice gets appointed to the court and the ACA is overturned, everybody in this country who has COVID or ever tests positive for the antibodies is going to have their insurance rates jacked up through the roof. And so given the circumstances of the current pandemic, this choice is even more important. So, you know, this all of a sudden became a healthcare insurance election. And we're going to make sure that voters understand the consequences to their healthcare that could occur almost immediately if this judge gets put on the court. Now, one of the questions may be, well, you know, normally a judge who didn't hear the arguments, you know, wouldn't rule. Well, you know, if the judge gets put on the court before the election, then they can participate in the hearing. But even if the appointment happens in a lame duck, I fully expect that the court will just rehear the arguments. A Alito, Thomas, Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, Coney Barrett Supreme Court majority is going to do anything they need to do in order to overturn the Affordable Care Act, including, you know, rescheduling the hearing on this case. So that's why this is so critical, and that's why I wanted to jump on this call today. So with that, I'll turn it over. I'm going to try to stay on for questions, but I may end up having to run up to a vote that's pending on the Senate floor.
Okay, well, let me move then quickly, not quickly, I mean, take your time, Laura, but I want to amplify in a few minutes some of the things that Senator Murphy talked about. But I want to turn over to Laura Packard. I hope people do know Laura. If you do know her, it's unfortunate because Laura is a stage four cancer. Laura is a stage four cancer survivor. She is one of the co-chairs, along with myself, of Healthcare Voter. Her story was pivotal and her advocacy and activism was pivotal during the fight to stop the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. At the time, she was a resident of Nevada. Her activity around the repeal vote and in the elections out there forced Dean Heller into retirement. She is now a resident of Colorado, and she is soon going to force Cory Gardner into retirement on these very same issues as well. She was featured at the Democratic National Convention in a conversation with Vice President Biden. Thrilled to call her a colleague, a friend, and everything that goes along with it. Laura?
Thanks. I'm here today because Donald Trump and Republican senators are gaslighting the country on health care. Senator Cory Gardner has voted at least 9 times to repeal the Affordable Care Act and remove the health protections we rely on. However, he's attempting to rewrite his own record with the fig leaf of a bill and airing false TV commercials claiming to be a protector of people with pre-existing conditions, people like me. The Obamacare case comes before the Supreme Court on November 10th, a week after the election. Without Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the court, they may finally have the votes to declare the entire law unconstitutional. This is a health care election. We desperately need Senator Gardner to be the man he claims to be on television and refuse to vote for any judicial candidate that won't protect our health care. Millions of lives hang in the balance, like mine, and perhaps yours too. But Gardner has said he'll do whatever Trump says. If so, we'll have to vote him out. My life and millions of others are at stake. 3 years ago, I walked into a doctor's office with a nagging cough and walked out with a diagnosis of stage 4 cancer, Hodgkin's lymphoma. I survived surgery in the hospital and another hospitalization after that, 6 months of biweekly poisonings of my body via chemotherapy, and then a month of burning my body through radiation. That should have been the hard part. But the day after my first chemotherapy appointment, Republicans in the House voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act, the insurance that was keeping me alive and I hoped would save my life. While I lay on my couch, bone-tired and afraid and unsure what terrible side effects awaited me, House Republicans held a kegger and celebrated on the White House lawn. I've been self-employed for over a decade. I don't have a health insurance plan B. Before the Affordable Care Act, I had a junk insurance plan. If I still did, today I would be bankrupt or dead. If Obamacare is repealed and insurance companies can pick and choose their customers again, no insurance company would ever choose to cover somebody like me. I face the very real possibility of cancer recurring, and bills could top $1 million to save my life again. I'm in remission, but life has no guarantees. As I struggled through the chemo and recovery cycle again and again through most of 2017, I checked the news every day to find out what new deadly gimmick Republicans in the Senate were proposing. In July of 2017, we came within one vote of losing in the Senate. Thanks to Senator McCain, we held on, but by the slimmest margins. In September that year, my own senator at the time, Dean Heller, stepped forward and proposed yet another Obamacare repeal plan. To add insult to injury, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, blocked me on Twitter and then tweeted hours later in support of Heller's proposal. Thankfully, that repeal bill went down in defeat days later, but Republicans in Congress were not done with their health care sabotage. In early December, the Republican-led Senate voted for the Trump tax bill, which included a provision gutting the Affordable Care Act mandate. That vote set up the case before the Supreme Court now, which threatens the entire Affordable Care Act. Due to the ominous possible outcomes, I knew at the end of 2018 that I must move. During the open enrollment period, I had 4 states at the time to choose from, which had good state-level protections to fall back on if the ACA was dismantled. So at the beginning of last year, I became a Coloradan. It turns out Nevada was not the only state with a senator in hiding. Last summer, I traveled on a bus across Colorado with other activists in search of our senator, whose last public town hall was in 2017. Last fall, I even went to New York City to try and find Senator Cory Gardner and talk to him in person, with no luck. I have been to Senator Gardner's offices countless times to beg him to stop the legal attack on the ACA and stand up for people with pre-existing conditions like me. As the senator said, 135 million Americans have pre-existing conditions, and many of us are uninsurable without the Affordable Care Act. Millions more are joining our ranks as they recover from COVID-19. Without insurance, many of us will die. Gardner is not the only one attempting to gaslight us about their record on health care. President Trump repeatedly claims to protect or save pre-existing condition protections while simultaneously attacking the Affordable Care Act and any mechanism to ensure people have comprehensive, affordable coverage. Other Republican senators have taken Trump's lead and are gaslighting us about their own votes. Senators Perdue, McSally, and Daines run TV ads claiming to protect people with pre-existing conditions despite their own voting records. And Senator Tom Tillis, once one of the chief opponents of expanding Medicaid in North Carolina, is now silent on health care. Senator Joni Ernst in Iowa has also voted again and again to dismantle the ACA, yet claims it's vitally important to protect people with pre-existing conditions. Despite what they say, they're all getting in line behind Trump's nomination before the person is even named. These senators will say whatever on television and then vote for radical right-wing judges to take away our care. Polling shows the Affordable Care Act has become popular with both Democrats and independents, and protecting people with pre-existing conditions is supported across the board. But rather than moderating their own positions, Trump and Republicans are choosing to mislead us and pretend like their own votes never happened. I can't forget what happened over the last few years because the scars are written on my body as much as the trauma is written on my mind. I hope that my fellow voters this fall look beyond their rhetoric to their record. If reelected, Trump and these Republican senators will try to repeal the Affordable Care Act again, but they might not even have to if they can ram through a Supreme Court candidate to tip the balance. People with pre-existing conditions like me are terrified of losing our insurance again in the midst of the pandemic surrounding us. Many of us are uninsurable without the ACA, and without insurance, we will die. We've lived through years of scary uncertainty and now months of sheltering in place. Enough is enough. We are all healthcare voters now, and we'll see if our wavering senators are healthcare voters too. Thank you.
Laura, thank you. That was a tremendous presentation. So well said about your story, also about the political consequences here. And I know we have Senator Murphy still on, so I want to get to Q&A very, very quickly. I do want to reiterate what he said. We are not conceding that whoever the president nominates will make it onto the court, that person is automatically going to get confirmation. It's one of the reasons that we have to fight so hard in the political realm. It's the political consequences. It won't be the substance, I don't believe, but it's the political consequences that Republicans are most likely in the Senate, that most likely to pay attention to. Also, it should not be lost on anyone, and I know it's not on Senator Murphy, that the court is also not immune to the political winds. And so demonstrating through our political advocacy, demonstrating through the confirmation process, demonstrating by winning the presidential election and winning the Senate majority on November 3rd, it's a way to send a political message also to not just the senators, but also to the court. And, of course, no matter what happens, we still need that Senate majority. We still need to elect Joe Biden so we can protect health care, restore it if they take it away, and then do even bigger and better things to bring affordable health care to the American people. With that, let's go to Senator Murphy. You still on?
I am. I'm here for a few more minutes.
Okay. Well, let's jump into the Q&A then while we have you.
If there are questions for any of our speakers at this time, please press *3 on your phone to enter our Q&A queue. Again, if you have questions for any of our speakers, press *3 on your phone to enter our queue. And we'll give folks just a minute here.
And while you're queuing people up, I'll just, amplifying some of the political consequences that are going to be visited on people during this process that Laura alluded to. Protect our care. We're going into additional states, South Carolina being, right at the top of the list. We have a close Senate race there. We're going into Alaska. We apparently have a close Senate race there, and we're going into Florida. So those are additional states that we're going into, and we also have In addition to all of the activity we're already doing, people know about our virtual bus tour, all of our other events that we, you know, that we're doing throughout the fall. We're also working on some ads around these very issues, targeting some of those very same United States senators. Whitney, do we have anybody queued up?
Yep, just one second here. Sorry, just give me one second here. Again, if you have any questions, you can press star 3 on your phone to enter our Q&A queue. Again, that's star 3. All right, our first question is going to come from Nick Bolasie at Just the News. Nick, you are live.
Thanks so much for taking the question. Senator Murphy, what do you think about having more justices on the Supreme Court, possibly up to 15, which has been discussed as a possible strategy, something that could be done in response to this current situation with the vacancy? And also, what do you think about impeachment possibly being used against President Trump in response to the way the vacancy is being handled? Thanks.
Well, our focus right now needs to be on stopping this justice. I know that there's a lot of political pundits interested in talking about, you know, what Democrats would do if we won the majority of the Senate and the majority of the House and the White House next year. But this is a existential crisis right now. People's lives are on the line, and we've got to be doing the business of building a political movement all around the country to make it clear to Republicans that there are consequences if they vote to take away health care from 25 million Americans. I understand there's, you know, some interest in conversations about process changes that might come in 2021. Right now, we need to keep our eye on the ball, which is saving health care for 25 million Americans. I don't know that anybody's talking about trying to impeach the president between now and the election. We'll use, you know, every tool at our disposal in the Senate to try to, you know, slow down this nomination and to try to make sure that this person, whoever it is properly vetted. We want to make sure that everybody in this country understands that a radical nominee is potentially about to head to the court that will erase people's health care, criminalize abortion, and take away the ability of Congress to regulate firearms. We're reviewing our, you know, our procedural tools, and we'll use as many of them as we can find. Brad, I'm going to jump up and run up to vote, so appreciate you having me.
Okay. Senator Murphy, thank you. We will continue to reach out to you and work with you, and thank you for your leadership. Thank you. Whitney, any additional questions?
Nope, that's all the questions we have for today.
Okay, well, nice, quick, short call, but I don't want the brevity of the call to obscure the urgency of the situation. You know, Laura's story is the story of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Americans. There are 135 million Americans with a pre-existing condition. There are over 20 million Americans covered by the, you know, Affordable Care Act. There are millions of seniors whose premiums will rise if the Affordable Care Act is invalidated. There's the donut hole that will reopen. The kids will be kicked off their parents' policies. I mean, the list, the consequences here are catastrophic. And by the way, it is not as if that while they're considering a justice to take away health care from millions of people, they got a bill on the floor that they're moving at the same time for what comes next. They have no plan. They literally have no plan. They would go back to the way things were, or worse, before the Affordable Care Act, but worse because this would throw the market into a complete chaos, the American people's health care complete chaos, Laura's health care into complete chaos. So our goal, stop the nomination, win the election, win at the Supreme Court. And our work at Protect Our Care, the work that Laura does in Colorado and through Health Care Voter, the work that Senator Murphy is doing, is designed to accomplish or further all of those goals. With that, Laura, do you have anything to add before we close?
This is a health care election. And right now, what the Senate could be doing is working to pass the HEROES Act, which has already passed the House, to provide relief to people going through this pandemic and economic crisis. They could be helping people, and instead they're rushing to push through a judge to take away our care.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you. Senator Murphy's left, but I know his team's probably still listening. So thank you for all that you do, and thanks to our team at Protect Our Care. We'll end this call, but we will be talking to you plenty between now and November 3rd. So thanks, everybody. Have a great day.